because all of us have a desire, should have a desire to teach and to share the gospel with other folks and to teach other people about Jesus Christ. Today the world has gone off on the deep end. They've taken God out of everything they can, and the folks that are teaching people, we're starting to see them as they are coming and growing up, the things that they think about and the things that they act upon. And it's really has nothing to do with God at all, but it's all about self and their own desires. And we as believers, we want to make sure our children don't fall into that situation. It's easy to happen because the world has a lot to offer. And that's why it's important for us to look to the Lord and to trust Him in our lives or with our lives, and also to be an example to our young folks and to each other. We need to be an example to each other as well. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, again, the beginning verses that we started this, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you again for your love for us. We thank you for the opportunity to open the Word of God. And again, we know that we're sharing these things to the choir, but Father, I need to be reminded of them, and I hope we each believe that and think on those things as well. Father, just continue to guide and direct in each one of our lives. We just want to trust you and to walk according to your word, knowing that you know best. And now go before us and just guide and direct in each one of our lives. Help us to take something away tonight that we may be able to apply in our life. And we'll thank you for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, we talked about why do we need teachers. We'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4. That's kind of where we're at. Hopefully we're going to finish this up tonight and then move on to the seven laws of the teacher. And hopefully that won't take too awful long as well. But in Ephesians chapter 4, in this passage, we are reminded that God gave specific people. And that includes people with gifts, such as an evangelist, pastor, and teachers. And just because you don't have the gift of a teacher, or in that sense that there is a spiritual gift as such, but just because you don't have that doesn't mean you shouldn't teach or shouldn't try to be an example and encourage others. And obviously, as parents, you want to share the gospel with your children. You want to help them to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that when they get of age, that they won't turn from the things of God, but they'll follow God wholly, completely, with their whole heart. And that's our desire, is it not? Is that each one of our children would do that. And it's going to be difficult, for times are going to get harder and harder as we go along. But yet we still want to train them in the right way. And so the first thing we want to teach our children, obviously, is about the Lord Jesus Christ and why he came, what was the purpose he came for, and then realize that who he was, the character that Christ had when he was on this earth, that he was different than any other man. He never committed a sin, no, not one. And it was because of that that he was able to bear the sins of everyone. And what does that really mean, that he bore our sins? Well, it really means that by shedding his blood and being buried and raised again, that he has made a way for us to have all our sins forgiven, past, present, and future. When we stand before a holy God, he's not going to look at us and say, what did you do to get up here? Because it's nothing you did. It's what Jesus Christ has done already. And that's important to understand that. And it's not easy to understand, especially in the climate we live in today. A lot of people don't even know there's a God or who God is. God is me. That's what a lot of people think. I'm a God. We know that's not true. But there are a lot of people who don't. And so we might have to start back to the very beginning to just explaining who God is. And that he is the Almighty, that he is the creator from the very beginning. And he created man in his own image. And then, of course, man's fall. And after that, cast out of the Garden of Eden. And today, because of that, we're all sinners. And so it's important that we are able to teach that, to know the scriptures and the gospel well enough to be able to share our testimony. If we have a testimony of that occurring in our life, then it ought to be real in our lives, right? It ought to be something that we know so well that we can share with somebody else. And I think sometimes we feel like, well, I got to go learn all these verses or whatever. Well, you ought to know some of them because it happened to you. And you knew and understand that, stood it when it did happen. So that is important that we are in the Word of God, realizing what God has done. Now, just because you got saved doesn't mean you know that much of the Scriptures necessarily at first. But through that salvation, you ought to be learning those things. You ought to be understanding those things. So you can do what? Share them and teach them with others. And so here we are. And the reason it says that he gave teachers as well as evangelists and pastors. In verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints. We've already talked about that a little bit, about the perfecting of the saints. That word means complete. It's trying to help us to look to the Lord and trust him in everything that we do. Do we do that? No, we can say that. But that's not what we want to do. That's just the flesh warring against the spirit. And we're trying to win that victory in that battle. And the only way we can do that is to submit to God on a moment-by-moment, daily basis. And you get up in the morning, it ought to be that, hey, Lord, I'm yours. What do you want me to do? How's this day going to go? Will you guide and direct me? Will you help me to say the right things and do the right things? And that you'd help me to walk in the steps you have ordered for me. For without him, we can't do it. It's impossible to do it. And so we want to know the Lord that well, perfecting of the saints. But also for the work of the ministry. Who's going to do the ministry when we're gone? Does the church shut the doors and just lock up and sell it to somebody else? Or is the ministry going to continue? Is it going to continue to go on? Because none of us are going to be here forever. And if the Lord tarries, there are going to be people that are after us, that come after us. We want them to be able to stand on the Word of God, to trust it completely and wholly. So that is what we're trying to do, is teach the young people to do the work of the ministry as they grow and put their faith and trust in Christ, of course, salvation being the first thing. And we know that pastors and teachers are not called to do all the work, nor the evangelist, but they're called to help others to learn how to do the work. And the work, for the most part, I mean, there are the material aspects of work and there's that type of thing. But the biggest work we have is a spiritual work, to help each other grow spiritually and mature in the things of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so that's what the Word of God can do in our lives. It can help us to be able to know what a good work is and what is not a good work. When Jesus was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, he said in Matthew 5:18-19, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And then he said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. There are rewards for serving the Lord. They may not be on this earth. We may not see them here today because the rewards are not material things. And so, again, the idea is that we want to be true to the Scriptures. We want to be true to teach people what is right, what is wrong. We don't want to mislead them, misguide them. I don't know, but I learned a long time ago the things that I'm lax in are the things that I'm not going to talk about much. Things that I don't think are important, I don't talk about much. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take the whole counsel of God, put it out there and say, this is what it says, and then for each person to take and mull that over as the Spirit of God works in our hearts and really search it out for ourselves. There's a lot to be said in the Scripture that is not obvious. That makes sense. And it really takes us to look and search those things out. So each person grows by what? Feeding on the Word of God, and then we minister to others. Peter wrote this in chapter 2, verse 2. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. Just like a baby can't be left alone, has to be taken care of, needs that milk. Why? So they can grow. We need the Word of God so we can grow. I'm not going to ask how many of you have ever just set the Bible on the counter and not read it for a week or two or three, because I'm sure everybody in this room may have been guilty at one point or time in their life when they may have done that. A lot of times when there's sin in our life, sin will keep us away from the Bible, because we don't want to go to the Bible if we got sin in our life and we're not going to deal with it. But that's why we need to go to the Bible, so we can deal with it and take care of it and then begin to grow. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, he wrote, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." It kind of reminds me of, and Peter wrote this too. Go ahead and turn to 2 Peter. I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is a familiar passage to all of us. But it kind of speaks to this idea of for the work of the ministry, to teach others to do the work. We need to be in the work ourselves. Here in 2 Peter chapter 1, as Peter's writing, he begins, I'm going to begin in verse 4. He begins in verse 1. But he says, verse 3. He says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So he's saying, making the statement that there's a divine power. That's the Spirit of God that indwells the believer, that's given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's saying that we can live a life unto him and a godly life. And how we do that is through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That word virtue again means valor, manliness, okay? And so verse 4, he says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And that's the biggest problem we have. That's my problem, is, I guess, goes along with pride, but it's selfishness. Getting what I want, doing what I want, instead of what does the Lord want me to do? I mean, whose am I anyway? I sometimes think I'm me. And I want to do what me wants to do. And the Lord teaches us that we're bought with a price and that we're really his. So he goes on and he says, verse 5, "And besides this," he says, "giving all diligence," that word diligence again means speed, "add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." And look at verse 8, what he says. If we add these, and we are searching the scriptures and trying to add these into our lives, this virtue, this knowledge, this temperance, this patience, this godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly or charity. He says in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." What Peter is writing through the Word of God is telling us this is a promise of God. If we're willing to do these things, then he says you will be fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, if we don't, he says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." And in verse 10, he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never," what? "Fall." And that's a promise from God. And so we as Christians, we want to do that. We want to serve the Lord. We want to learn about these things. Why? So we can pass them on to the next generation. We can pass them on to our neighbors, our friends, to people who don't know the Lord and have no idea. We have a responsibility at the work of the ministry. In 2 Corinthians, turn over there if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And again, Paul, as he's writing here, he shares different things, reasons why we ought to be willing to help others to see the Lord Jesus Christ. There's like 5 different points here. I'm not going to read those tonight. But he's talking about the love of Christ constraineth us in verse 14. "Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." If you skip down to verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So we have a new life, and in that new life, we have a new direction.
It's not what it was. It's different. Verse 18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation," doing the work of the ministry. What is that? Reconciliation. That's helping others to see the Lord Jesus Christ just like we did. Verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation," the work of the ministry. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So again, the work of the ministry. That's what we're doing as teachers and as Christians, is trying to help others see that. Remember, Jesus shared with his disciples at the end, before he was ascended up, in Matthew 28, he shared this in all the Gospels. But in Matthew 28:18, it reminds us, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me, he said, in heaven and in earth. And he said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations." See what a teacher does? What a Christian should do is to help all nations. That is all people. Nations generally in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, but New as well, is talking about Gentiles for the most part. But here it's talking about go into all nations, that we're to teach them. And then he says, baptizing in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. And then the next verse, teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever commanded you. So what's our responsibility as a teacher, as pastors, evangelists, as Christians? It's to help other people understand this. This right here. Cover to cover. Genesis to Revelation. All things. And why is that important? Because we want the next generation to be able to teach somebody else all things. We're passing this along. And we're trying to keep it going. Again, we know the Lord's coming back, but we're given the direction to do this. Why? Because we have the gospel. We have the Bible. He says, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Again, reminder that Jesus is going to go with us as we're trying to serve him and to follow him. He's there, right there with us. And we don't go in our own power and our own strength. It's easy to do. It's easy to take it sometimes as just a duty. Now, there's nothing wrong with duty, but at some point, this needs to be changed over to, I love Christ so much that I'm going to do this. And we need to be doing this in the power of the Spirit. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What does that mean? Exactly, as teachers and Christians, and what is it telling us to do? Somebody teach me. Yeah, and the thing, and that's right, Henry, and the way that is applied to us in our life is that if I live here, then I need to make much known about Christ here, unless God tells me to go somewhere else specifically. And he may do that. So where we are planted today, we are supposed to take the gospel and spread the gospel. So one of the things we need to think about, where do we spend most of our time? That's where we ought to be in the ministry. Because why? Because we're commanded to do so. So, as we are discipled, we want to become those disciples that we want to also make other disciples. We want to help other people see Jesus Christ. And it's not easy. We all have our battles. We all have the physical aspect of this world, the struggles that we all deal with. But nonetheless, if the Lord is with us, he can take care of us and see us through this. So we want to take what we know so we can share with others. We want to reach out to others and tell them about Jesus and teaching the whole Bible. And again, it's a responsibility that we all have. Colossians 3:24, knowing that the day of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of an inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We serve Him. And so we want to train the next generation. We want to help them to see Jesus Christ. And the easiest way we can do that is by us applying the Scriptures to ourselves, that we may be able to share it with others as well. And we want to have that opportunity. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said of himself in 1 Timothy 1:12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And that's what we're here. We're in the ministry. And we ought to be able to thank God for that, the opportunity to be able to share and teach others. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:5, he said, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And again, that idea is that where we go, the opportunities we have, is to be reminded that there are people that are dying and going to hell. And sometimes I know that, you know, I go out and I don't even think about it. And shame on me. But we have this little thing we call a track. And I don't think anybody's going to punch us in the face. And if they did, thank you, God. I mean, that's kind of the way it ought to be. But there's some times when I know that I'm not doing that, but that's what we should be doing. As often as we can, is to just sharing the gospel and helping others to see Jesus Christ. We don't know what a person will do when they take that gospel and take it home and sit down in their living room, maybe going through a difficult situation. Today, I don't know about you hearing these things, but there's a lot of people that are doing harm to themselves this past year. Tons of people. I wonder what a track could have done. I have read testimonies and heard testimonies of how people have put their faith and trust in Christ at that last moment, making a right choice instead of a wrong choice. And so again, how important is it? I'm not responsible for if somebody throws it away, throws it on the ground, or does anything to that track, because I'm praying that God will use it. And just like I shared many years ago, there was a friend of mine, Brian. He was working on a Tom's truck. I believe it's what he had back then. And Tom's truck, they go into companies and they fill up the Tom's candy machines and all that, crackers and all that stuff. And he went into one of these places and someone had thrown a track in the trash can. And he just happened to see it. He picked it up. And his testimony is through that, he put his faith and trust in Christ. And he was an evangelist. I don't know what he's doing today. I haven't heard from him in a long time. But the Lord saved him, and he was in the ministry. And that's what God can do. He can take a track in the trash and lead someone to the Lord. And I don't know how many folks Brian has led to the Lord. I'm sure there have been many over the years. But that's what God can do. So again, we want to, as it tells us in Ephesians, let me turn back there, perfecting of the saints, to do the work of the ministry, but then also we want to edify the body of Christ. Now, how do we edify the body of Christ? That word means to build up the body of Christ. How do we build up the body of Christ? Well, there's lots of ways. There's the material aspect of it. Although I think the most important aspect we miss today is the spiritual aspect of teaching and training each other by the way we talk and the things that we do of how much God is important in our lives. We assume that. Sometimes we assume these things, but we don't really talk about it much. You know, something happened to me and God delivered me out of this situation. I was praying and God answered my prayer, or God let me continue down that path until He showed me what was right. I mean, we're all experiencing the power of God in our lives, right? And so this is something that ought to be evident, not just in us walking around and doing what we do, but what we're saying. How is God blessing? What has God done in your life? That is what edifies. When I hear a testimony of how Christ has done something in their life, that's edifying. That encourages me to think, you know, God's working. But if you never hear it, you don't even know. Is God working or isn't He? We can assume He is, but that's why He tells us to praise Him and to talk about Him and to share. That's all part of the edifying of the body of Christ. We all have the responsibility to serve each other. Obviously, Galatians 5:13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another, or to encourage each other. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 22 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So the high idea is that through the habitation of God through the Spirit, we're building each other up. We're a complete package, if you will. There are a lot of local churches, and every local church is part of the body of Christ. But in this assembly, we want to edify, encourage, and strengthen each other. We want to help out physically. If there's a need, someone has a need, we want to be able to help that. But we also want to spiritually help. In other words, you got a situation, we want to go to the Bible and find out what God has to say about that. You know, sometimes we won't admit, or we don't want to even search it, because maybe God's dealing with us in a way that we wouldn't like. It's important to know that. Why? It helps us to divert what we're doing and look to the Lord and say, oh, okay, Lord, please forgive me. I see that now, and I see you have a purpose and a plan for whatever's going on in my life. And so, again, all this idea is we see that the teachers are given. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That whole idea is that we're called to do this for the rest of our lives. As a Christian, I'm called to continue to study, continue to share, to continue to talk about the Lord, continue to help each other in whatever way we can, and then just until we see Jesus Christ, that's when we're going to be the perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 4 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are thousands and thousands of Baptists and other denominations that have been taken away to the Mormons, to the Jehovah Witnesses, and other folks. Why? Because they didn't know their Bible. They didn't study their Bible. They may have been saved, but they saw something in those folks that wasn't something they saw in here. They couldn't see that that was a false religion and was leading them in a false way. Again, how important is it? And that's important for our children because they are just like us and they could be pulled away by any slight wind of doctrine or of sleight of men. In James chapter 1, verse 5 and 8, it reminds us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Again, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We got to believe that he will give us the faith to trust him. When I go to the Word of God and say, Lord, show me something in your Word today, and just ask him to guide and direct you in something, it's amazing what he'll do. He will show you things, and you will sit there and go, how did that come out of the Old Testament? How did that come out in the life of David? Well, God uses that. He uses that to reveal things to us in this life. But he also says in James, he says, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If we asked and we're not believing, he said, don't even expect to receive it from the Lord. If you don't believe it, why ask, right? For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So again, it's coming to the sound conclusion of the things of the Bible. Not just knowing about it, but understanding it and apply it in our lives. Jesus warned in Matthew 16:6, he said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. There's a lot of folks out here. And you can go look. You can go online and look at churches, churches after churches after churches. Be careful. Be careful. They may say the same things. I had heard a good message from, can't remember where it was, but if you looked in the church, you didn't look like anybody was practicing godliness, at least from their appearance. It didn't look like a church that someone understood what godliness was even. And so I thought, wow, why? Because we want to do this part, but we don't want to do this part. We're to do it all, and we're to learn what that means. What does all mean? Paul gave warning in Acts 20:28. We're almost done here. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And it's true. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:6, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Continue in the doctrine. Why? Because it will confirm in your life that you're saved, and it'll give you confidence to tell other people that they can be saved too. There's many other warnings. I'm not going to go through all those. But it's just that in verse 15, this last one, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of Christ. So he's talking about here that he gave teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets, and apostles back then for the perfecting of the saints, to do the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ. But also he says, to mature the Christian. To mature. That's what he says in verse 15. But speaking, well, verse 14 too. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And then verse 16, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The idea is that we want to train up this generation, the next generation, and if the Lord tarries, the next generation, that they'll serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are less and less people who are willing to take and make the sacrifice to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot less. And those of you who have stuck to it, don't stop. Just keep on keeping on. And let him mature us. Let us grow and let us study. Let's find out. What does he speak of and what does he want us to know? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. I thank you for how you use it to speak to our hearts and to transform us and to change us into what you have called us to be. It's easy to give up. It's easy to have those secret areas. We talk about strongholds on Sunday. But Father, we want to give you everything, that it would be you doing it all, because you are our all in all. And Father, we just want to trust you and to walk with you and to know that the things that we're going through are because we love you. Now, Father, have your way in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.